Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church that meets at 2970 Baird Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today a message that seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious person and finished work of salvation accomplished for sinners at the cross. Please stay tuned.
I want to speak with you today concerning spiritual blessings in Christ. You hear people talking about being blessed of God. Well, the Scriptures give us very specific instruction as to what that means. And what we find in Scripture is that any who are blessed of God, it's not for anything in themselves, but all spiritual blessings are of God in Christ. And so here in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, we see this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So there's a very specific blessing that is described here, and a very specific people. It doesn't say that He has blessed everybody, but who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's important for us to understand the context. If I found an open letter sitting on your table, and someone was speaking or writing there in that letter using this plural, speaking of us, I would have to look at the context. It may or may not concern me, depending upon my relationship with the person or persons to whom the letter is written. And so, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You say, well, how do we know who's addressed here? Well, keep reading. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. So, these for whom spiritual blessings have been promised and given are those whom God Himself has chosen in Christ, it says, before the foundation of the world. There are many that somehow believe that it's when they believe that God chooses them, or that somehow He looks down through time to see who it is that will love Him, and therefore He chooses them. No, dear friend, this was before any were even born. God Himself made this choice to set His love upon them, that those sinners that He has chosen and purposed to bless in Christ Jesus should be made holy and without blame before Him. You see, there already we see the truth of salvation by a substitute. It's not because of anything in us that we're made holy and without blame before Him, but it's in Christ. And it says there, reading on, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. A lot of people running around today talking about man's will. And if you do this, you do that, then God will do this or God will do that. Everything I'm reading for you here, dear friend, has God as its source, God as the one who purposes it and accomplishes it, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. We're not children by nature. And we're not children by our choice, no more than any child that is adopted by any particular family chooses, first of all, that family. No, it's the family that chooses that child, especially as a baby. There is no thought even as to what's going on. And yet, the adoption is accomplished for that child. And so it is with God, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see, in this matter of spiritual blessings, they're not earned. It's according to his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace. God's grace is glorious. Because when you stop and think about a holy God actually choosing to save sinners, oh my, what grace, what boundless grace. And it says, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We're not just accepted. God can't just take sinners and draw them to himself, but it's in the beloved one. You say, who's the beloved one? That's his son. All spiritual blessings in Christ. But it came with a price. It's at no cost to the sinner, but at great cost for the Savior. Verse 7 of Ephesians 1 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sin. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Yes, it took God purposing to save sinners, decreeing to save them, and covenanting with his son even before the world began to save sinners, but it still took Christ coming, doing, and dying in order to redeem those sinners that God has purposed to save. And by his death, then, there's the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This is the message of Scripture concerning salvation and spiritual blessing. And it says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In other words, those for whom Christ has died, those to whom these spiritual blessings have been purposed, he does in time reveal this truth unto them, it says, in all wisdom and prudence. And Paul goes on to say here in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Yes, dear friend, it's a mystery. A mystery is something that is beyond our comprehension unless it's revealed. But the mystery of his will is described here according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. When people try to sit down and figure this all out in their mind before they'll believe it. No, dear friend, we bow even as God has revealed it in his word, and we believe it because he's declared it. But here is the mystery of his will. Paul describes in Ephesians 1:10 that in the dispensation, the administration is what that word means, of the fullness of times. See, all this was set in motion back when God created the world. And all of history has been marching toward this one event that should take place. You say, what event? Well, the coming, doing, dying, and rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason is, declared here in Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times is described in Scripture as that time when Christ came to this earth. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says that. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. You say, well, what was accomplished? Well, verse 10 says it. That in the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In other words, that by his one death and by his resurrection, God has once for all declared righteous that people that he purposed to save from all eternity. And that's how Paul declares it in verse 11 of Ephesians 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom? It's not in a system or an organization or denomination, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have obtained an inheritance. And it says, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. There's not anything that takes place randomly or haphazardly in any part of this world or creation or history. God, the God of history, is the God of sovereignty and purpose, and he has predestinated all things according to his purpose and is working all things after the counsel of his own will. I know this, there's not a sinner too far gone, but what if God has purposed to save him, he will save him. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid his sin debt, and in time the Spirit will draw him. Christ said, of all that the Father has given me, I'll not lose one. See, that's the spiritual blessing in Christ. But I find people pushing back. They like to talk about being blessed of God, but when you get right down to declaring how it is that God blesses sinners and that it's all to God's glory and purpose and grace, they push back. Well, here in verse 12 of Ephesians 1, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I can tell you this, that if a person claims to trust in Christ and yet is not giving all the praise and glory and honor to God alone in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then that person is a liar and he's deluded. Now here it says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. If you're trusting in Christ, why wouldn't you give him all the glory? There's no glory in yourself. And this is why Paul says in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There's only one word of truth. And that's what I'm declaring unto you, just as it's revealed here in Scripture, that any spiritual blessing that God grants is in Christ, it's by Christ, it's for Christ, and it's to his glory. And it says, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's the Holy Spirit that caused you to believe, and it's that same Holy Spirit that seals you with the very authority. That's what a seal is, the authority of God, that you are indeed a son of God. And it's according to the Holy Spirit of promise. All the promises of God, dear friend, are in Christ. And so, the Spirit here in verse 14 is described as being the earnest of our inheritance. That's a word that's used with regard to procuring a property. There's an earnest that is put down that keeps that until the final payment. Well, the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. It says, until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Yes, when Christ came and died, he paid the entire sin debt, and his people were thereby delivered from the curse of the law and the curse of sin. And yet, we all wait for that final redemption of this body to be delivered from the very presence of sin. And the Spirit is that earnest. If God has given you his Spirit and taken you from darkness into light to see Christ as your only hope of salvation, then that Spirit is given as we await the day of the final redemption, full redemption of this body at the resurrection in the last day, when we shall be changed and made completely like our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we consider God's spiritual blessings in Christ, there are two aspects here that I want you to consider. First, it's by decree, God having decreed those blessings in Christ, but also it's by covenant, God having covenanted with his Son in order that sinners such as we are might enjoy those spiritual blessings. Now, as far as the decree, when you consider the decree of God in Scripture, it has several titles. I'll just mention three here. One, the decree of God is the very same with that which we have read here in the term predestination. What is predestination? but a decree of God concerning the giving of His grace to sinners. And that predestination being that which guides those sinners that God has purposed to save infallibly into that salvation which God has purposed. Predestination is a decree that not only comprises the means, but also the end. What good would it be for God to purpose and predestinate and not have it come to pass? So here is a decree of grace given, and that's all comprised in verse 9, for example, according to His good pleasure which He had purposed in Himself. What did He purpose? Well, to bless sinners in Christ and to grant them grace in Christ. And so predestination not only is the means but the end. It's a decree of grace given, and it is effectual unto those sinners that He has purposed to save. In other words, it's because of the sureness of God's faithfulness and the work of His Son that any of us as sinners can hope to be brought into glory. So this decree, this predestination, is compared to a golden chain, not only of means, but the end. And we see this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. And I'll read it for you. It says, "Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." And so we see very specifically there that just as God has predestined some to life and to glory, so He has predestinated them to be called and justified and glorified. The word called there in Romans 8 and verse 30 means to be named. I'm called kin. I'm named kin. So those that He predestinated, He named. This is not some general decree as you might think of an olly-olly-in-free. No, it's determined. And those that He has predestinated, He called. And those that He's called, He's justified. That word justified means to declare righteous. Now, in His decree, He purposed to declare sinners righteous, and that's part of those spiritual blessings in Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to come in time and pay the sin debt of that people that God has purposed to save, and they're justified in Him. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 9 through 11, it very clearly states that we're justified by His blood. This is a redemption through Christ's blood. It took shedding of blood unto death in order for God to justify the people, the sinners that He has predestinated unto life. But all of this is part of not only the means but the end. Notice how definitively it's put. That those that He predestinated, He called. Those that He called, He justified. It's an accomplished reality through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Even that's put in the past tense. Why? Because when Christ rose from the grave, He ascended on high. God the Father glorified Him. And as the sinner's representative, we've been glorified in Him if He has so paid our debt. So this is the glorious truth, dear friend, that whomever the Lord has decreed to save, them He has also decreed to sanctify and to set apart and to enter into this salvation even before they enter into glory. There's not going to be anybody waking up in heaven one day surprised to be there. No, if God has predestinated you to salvation, that means that Christ has paid your sin debt, and the Spirit either has or yet will reveal Christ in you and draw you unto Himself. But the assurance of glory comes in God having predestinated. So God has chosen His people in Christ. We read that in verse 4 of Ephesians 1. Even before the foundation of the world. It's like one individual said, I'm thankful that He chose me before the foundation of the world, because He certainly would not have chosen me after if it depended upon anything in me. So we see how all of this is woven together by the Apostle Paul and through the inspired word revealed unto him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. There are some who push back on God's predestinating and choosing. They say, well, we're chosen to serve, but the matter of salvation is up to us. Oh no. If it were, none would be saved. Listen to the scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. That's how we know we've been chosen to salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit sets us apart unto that righteousness, unto that holiness that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself came and worked out as our substitute, and He causes us to believe the truth. So that's the decree of God. You remember I said it is revealed under several titles. One is predestination. The second, this decree is the same with the book of life, wherein are written the names of God's elect. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, for example, Paul is writing there of some women, along with Clement and some other fellow laborers, and he says, whose names are in the book of life. And even the Lord Jesus Christ bid His disciples, saying in Luke chapter 10 in verse 20, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And even John in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, he saw in his vision the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now the books that were opened, those are the books of works. Anybody that hopes to stand before God one day based upon their works, their names are written in those books. But if you read carefully Revelation chapter 20, you're going to find that unless your name is written in the book of life, that's the Lamb's book of life, then you'll be condemned. I don't want to stand before God with my name written in a book of works that I have attempted to work out for my salvation. No. To be in the book of life is to be in the Lamb's book of life. It means that Christ has done the work. He has paid the sin debt. And having paid it, there is therefore now no condemnation. So that's another way in which God's decree is set forth in Scripture. But thirdly, this decree is also synonymous with God's seal. It says in 2 Timothy, for example, chapter 2 and verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. A seal is used in three ways. It can be used to keep things distinct. You put a seal on it to separate it. Two, it can be used to keep things secret. You seal an envelope, and therefore it is secret. Or thirdly, it can be used to keep things safe. A seal is put on it, such as a lock, so that nobody can get in. And in every one of these respects, God's decrees are seals. But especially in the last way, those souls that are sealed by God are safe in His love, in His favor, and mercy because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we read it here in Ephesians chapter 1 concerning the work of the Spirit where it says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise in verse 13. Salvation that God has purposed and decreed, dear friend, is a sure salvation. He seals up those that He has purposed to save and for whom Christ has paid the debt. And He preserves them in His eternal love so that they can never, ever be dropped out of His heart. It would be more likely that the Lord Jesus Christ would cease to be the Son of God, which could never be, than for any one of those that God has purposed to save to ever be lost. So, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the Lord said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's not our keeping ourselves, but it's Him keeping us. So that's God's decree. But all of this, as I said earlier, is summed up in God's covenant. God's covenant with His Son. And that's what we saw in Ephesians 1 and verse 4. He hath chosen us in Him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Mark that. In Christ. There was in God's eternal purpose and in His eternal decree that covenant, that will. And it was between the Father and the Son. It's not a bargain that's made with us or any kind of negotiating that we do. No, it's been sealed between God, the Father, and His Son. And that covenant is for the salvation of God's elect. And so that's why you read in portions like Isaiah chapter 49 and verses 1 through 4 that Christ Himself is God's first elect, and that any who are redeemed or saved, they are the reward that is given to the Son for undertaking and accomplishing that salvation. When it says in Isaiah 49, 1 and 2, the Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath He made mention of my name, and He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand hath He hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In His quiver hath He hid me. You see, this is a reference to Christ. And God, in essence, answers Christ and tells Him what reward He should have for so great an undertaking. See, this is the covenant that God has made with His Son, that He should have everyone for whom Christ came and paid the debt, and should endure that suffering at the hand of God's justice. So, God's eternal purpose in Christ, but the spiritual blessing that results of His faithful work is simply this. God, the Father from eternity, looking upon His Son as that mighty surety, and saying to Him, if Thou wilt take upon Yourself their nature and bear their sin and undertake to satisfy my justice and law and take away that hatred that is in them towards my law and me and make them a believing and holy people, then I will pardon them. God the Father is saying, I'll adopt them and in Thee for my sons and daughters and make them co-heirs with Thee of an incorruptible crown of life. And that's why the Lord said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 7 through 9, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. It's as if Christ struck hands with God the Father and took on Himself the nature and the sin of those sinners that God would purpose to save and suffered and died, whatsoever God required of Him. That's the covenant. And that's why the Lord was able to say in John 17:6, I've manifested Thy name unto the men that Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me. Oh, what a blessed truth this is, the spiritual blessings in Christ, not only by God's decree, but by that eternal covenant with His Son.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road, and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.